Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
People, welcome to the No Bullshit Guide to Life with me, Bangs, in London.
And me, Lamara, live from New York. Good morning, good morning.
Well,
it's morning on my side.
Afternoon here and evening when we post this. So we're just covering all of the times.
All time zones, bro.
All of the times.
How are you? Good.
Wonderful.
I'm blessed. Great. I'm tired, but I'm blessed. How are you, Bangs?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm wonderful. I'm good. I'm in a good place. I'm in a good zone. And, you know, life is going all right.
That's what I like to hear. That is exactly what I like to hear.
Yeah, man.
Hey, no long ting. Let's do it now.
Let's do it now. All right. Okay, so my bullshit this week is Kylie Jenner has a line of lipsticks.
Stop. You just mentioned Voldemort. Her family. But go on. Let me let you have your ting, bro.
Let me get to my point. Kylie Jenner has a line of lipsticks that she makes money, dollar bills, y'all, off. Kylie Jenner's lips ain't even her lips, bruv. They're not even hers. That's like her whole face, really. I mean, let's be real. Her whole face is not her. Like, complete transplant. When you look at before and after, you're like, that's not even the same person. But I'm going to reserve judgment on that because, hey, if you're uncomfortable with your looks or whatever, I'm not against people like enhancing or whatever they want to do. But I do think you should bear some kind of resemblance to the way you were born looking, perhaps. You know what I mean? Like, how did Kylie Jenner's friends react the day after surgery? They rocked up to her house. Hey, is Kylie here? When it's Kylie who answered the door. Hey, is Kylie here? Like, hey, no, it's me. They're like, no, because you, like, before you were a girl who was just like kind of plain looking with some freckles and some thin lips. Now you're like some, I don't understand it. And she was so young when she did all that to herself. But that's beside the point. The point is she makes money from a line of lipsticks. Her lips aren't even her lips. So people who are buying these lipsticks, I have so many questions about the people who are investing in this and buying. Do you think you're going to get Kylie Jenner lips? I don't, because those are surgical. That's a surgical procedure.
Because I work with someone who is forever trying to get her lipstick and forever trying to get her lip kit, like, and they sell out quicker than gold Nike Air Yeezys if they existed, people. Like, it's ridiculous. And I've never seen the frenzy to do with the Kardashians or the Jenners or all of them.
Me either.
Fake bratted people. But yeah, she's getting money. Like, on one hand, like, kudos, boo-boo, you're getting your money. But off the fakery and the fuckery of the whole thing.
But if that
and
ain't
why
just
selling out.
It's the realest hustle.
Stupid.
It's the realest
it's
hustle I've ever come
stupid.
Across in my life. Like, how
it's stupid.
It really is stupid. I don't, it's such bullshit. Like, I'm calling bullshit on the people who buy it, because Kylie Jenner, listen, she's from, her family are like the realest hustles out here in the streets. So I can't really blame her, because obviously they're just going to make their money in it, however they can make it. But the people who are buying it, I have like really have so many questions. You are not going to get Kylie Jenner's lips from her fucking lipsticks. It's a surgical procedure. Like, those lips are not hers. I don't understand what
you call it. Are you calling bullshit on people who don't understand science then and surgery?
I'm calling bullshit on society for buying into any source of Kardashian bullshit, essentially. But yeah, so that's my bullshit. You don't have any bullshit this week, which is
well, yeah, no, I don't think I have any bullshit this week. I think if I was gonna call bullshit on something, you corrected me earlier in our little pre-call of you're tired because you're doing great things. So I don't have any bullshit.
Commence with the good shit then.
Yeah, I have good shit. So I'm calling good shit this week on friendships that you can just pick up wherever you left off, no matter how many years have passed, and kind of not act like everything's changed, because of course things have changed, but like just see your progression and talk about things and laugh. There's sometimes it can be a bit weird, but I just had an instance like literally last night, this morning, of just catching up with a mate who I've known since a teenager. Weirdly enough, both of our lives are now in New York and we're doing what we're doing. And call good shit on that, because as a way to kind of not so much chart your progress, but see your maturity and have connection or have a connection with someone who probably for whatever year probably is a, like a formative or formulating year in your life. But to know you so early on when you hopefully are still the person you are now, but just know when you're a teenager how you're changing and how maybe your worldview is expanding and your peer group is all in flux. But someone to know you from that time till now, I think is actually really beautiful. And then you can just sit back over a bevy and just talk about like, rah, look where we've come to where we are. And definitely note how far we still have to go. So I'm calling good shit on that. Friendships that you can pick up where you left off. Yeah,
I love that. I love those kind of friendships. I think it's so important to be able to have those people in your life who there's just an underlying connection that's always going to be there. There's a thread that's just kind of constant and doesn't need to be nurtured daily. It's not needy. It's just there. I have a friend who, and to this day, I'll call her one of my best friends. I've known her for probably the longest amount of time out of all of my friends. We may not see or speak to each other for months, but when we do, we have not skipped a beat. We just pick up where we left off. Right. And I know that if I ever needed her, one phone call, she's here. I know that. And I don't doubt it. And there's something about those friendships that are just kind of rooted and you know, that person's got me, I've got them for life.
That's the thing. It has to be rooted in something.
Yes.
It really has to be rooted in something. And I think like, all right, if I was to backtrack a little bit, there's, I was potentially going to call bullshit on it, but I didn't know how to do it in the right way without sounding like a hypocrite. There's some friendships in the past that just need to stay in the Ras Clark past.
Of course, yeah.
There's some of them that just like, the saying, if the past comes calling, send that shit to voicemail. Some of them that aren't rooted in anything that just, for whatever reason, you're done with personally and you've moved on and you need to like do whatever you need to do. Don't entertain them. But when there is a bond there, when you can actually like sit and smile and laugh and reminisce and literally we were just talking about stuff that we did when we were 13, 14. And I had a moment when I still have a Hotmail email address for really not anything professional, but I have it. I typed his name in and like emails popped up from 2004 and we're just sitting there laughing like, rah, what did we sound like over this medium, you know? What the hell were we talking about? How are we spelling words? And just like charting our friendship. And if it's rooted in something and you genuinely felt good about it then and you can now, like hold on to that. Like then people will, you can really count on them to like let you know how you're doing in life and just always bring you back to a happy place. It's about, there's a growth in friendships like that that you don't, well, you do get from the everyday friendships and the people that you tap into and connect with every day. But then ones from your past, like they can be really, really fulfilling. So I call tremendous amount and a good shit on that. And if you had that brethren that time is of no big thing, give them a text or call this week. Trust me, like it's a nice surprise. So yeah, I call good shit on that, man.
I think that's a wonderful thing to call good shit on.
Gracias. And over to you. What's yours?
I call good shit on an article that I read online last week on Vice magazine called The Unhealthy Truth Behind Wellness and Clean Eating by Ruby Tando. I'm not going to harp on about it too much. I think you should just Google that, look it up and read it. I think it raises some really excellent points. As somebody who works within the fitness/wellness realm, it definitely raised some very interesting points for me that had me nodding in agreement to the point that my head damn near fell off at one point. Articles like that are really needed. We need people who will cut through the bullshit and tell it from a perspective that we do not always get to hear because of mainstream media and dominant messages that try and get through no matter how unhealthy they are. This was a really interesting piece to read and a really worthwhile piece to read. And I think even if you think you have a handle on what you perceive your own wellness, I'm using giant air quotes there, to be. I think this is a really worthwhile piece to read just for an alternative perspective, or you may find that it's a perspective that you completely agree with. You may think it's absolute nonsense, but either way, I think it's a really necessary read, and I think it came at a really great time in fitness wellness culture, because because we're kind of at a bit of a tipping point with the whole thing at the moment. So it was a really great read, and I recommend it to everybody. So there you go, that's my good shit.
Good shit and good knowledge.
Let's do this.
Rob, let's dive into it this week. This week we're talking about flakiness. People just not showing up when they're meant to show up, or showing up and not attending after you said attending, or setting a day and on the day cancelling and rescheduling, or the day comes and then like the shit never happens. Just like the flakiness epidemic, and it operates on a lot of variables. But I think, like, Banks, tell them how we got to this subject, because you published a really great article about accountability and support and people stay showing up with their intentions to, like, if you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And then just maybe having the walls crumble a little bit and you just putting your fork in the ground and being like, hey, bruv, hold up. Go.
Yes. So I blogged about that this week because I started a group on Facebook for badass women who do cool shit, right? And my thinking behind that was I had been at a party and had a conversation. I met loads of people there who I hadn't seen in ages. And we kind of got to talking and said, oh man, you know, I'm keeping up with everything you're doing on social media and you're doing so great and I'm so proud of you. I just wish I saw you more in person. And I was like, that is an excellent point. I'm going to start a group where we just have monthly meetings and we do something interesting together each month, be it, you know, a talk or go to some kind of cultural event or whatever it's going to be, even maybe just have a dinner once a month. I'm going to start this group and it's going to be full of like badass chicks, because I know so many cool chicks who are just slaying everything in their life. Mm. And I think I've got this really great connection with a lot of women. So I thought, okay, cool, I'm going to start this group. Started the group. And my thing was, I have no interest in having a Facebook group with a shit ton of people in it who don't do anything. The entire purpose was, join this group if you are about something. And granted, I fully understand, not everybody is going to be able to make every meetup that we have. That is life, and I fully understand it. However, I don't want you to join this group if you have no intention of ever actually doing anything with us. The whole point is to contribute, to bring something, to attend, to show up, to learn, grow, connect in person. The Facebook group itself is really just there to facilitate these meetings, right? Was the general idea.
The digital for the behind the physical.
Exactly. So the first meetup happened kind of really off the cuff, very quickly. A week after I started the group, a girl was like, look, I can offer you up this space. Do you want to use it? I said, cool, bam. So we had about 20 women show up to that first meet. Now, given it was short notice, I thought that's quite a good turnout for the first meetup. And it was a really nice meeting. And everybody there was so positive and said, this is so great. We've needed something like this. This is so wonderful to be in this group of women who have so much to bring. Second meetup happened. And, you know, you create an event page on your Facebook group and people can RSVP, which, brief side note, which I'll get into later, RSVPing used to be an actual thing that you had to do. Let me put a pin in that and I'll come back to that point. So there's an RSVP on the group. Yes, no, maybe. Yeah. So I have in the group, I have about 130 people at this point, which personally had no intention of it getting it that big at all, right? So I have maybe 30 people reply yes, they're going to attend this event. I get about 12 to 15 who will say maybe, and then nobody ever actually says no, right? So everybody else just kind of leaves it flapping in the breeze, like who knows what they're doing. Comes to the day of the event and you get maybe 14 to 18 people who show up. On the day of the event, excuses start to flow in on the Facebook group. Sorry, I can't make it tonight for insert reason here. Yes? So everybody has whatever their reason is. And no shade. I am sure those reasons are completely valid, right? I don't want to minimize whatever those people are saying. Cool. You can't make it for whatever reason. So that's on the day of the event. But it still leaves, I would say, 10 or 12 people who had replied yes and just haven't shown up and haven't bothered to send a text, email, phone call, nothing to say why. And it happened. I had an event this week where that same thing happened. Okay. I arrange a speaker, I arrange a place, and I set a date. And, you know, it's not about me, but I've arranged a speaker who has put, she's given me her time for free. Mm. She's put together this really wonderful talk, and it was really wonderful. It took her time to do that. I managed to get a space for free in London, which is not easy, which was basically given to me by a friend who I know who runs a bar. The bar isn't even open on the day that we were holding this event. She gave up her time, her one night off a week, to open the bar up for us so that we could use it. And she stayed for the event. You know, she had no reason to do that other than she just wants to help to contribute to this group. And that is someone whose time I appreciate, because she's about that life and she does what she says she's going to do. It's kind of stressful figuring out when you're going to have it, a day that's going to suit people, where you're going to hold it, what the event's going to be about. I put thought and time and effort into that. There's no consideration for that these days. So this week I held that event. Same thing happened again, where 30 odd people said they were going to come. And I think it was maybe 14 showed up. And listen, it was a great 14 people. And it was actually an excellent event. And I think it actually kind of benefited having it as a smaller group, to be honest.
Smaller group.
It did actually benefit the event. And it was great. And everybody who came raved about it and said how much they got from it. So in that sense, total win. But where were the people who said they were going to come? And fair enough, again, same thing, got loads of texts and whatever from people saying they couldn't make it. People flooded the Facebook page saying, sorry, forgot about this, forgot about that, whatever the reasoning was, which I'm not knocking it. I'm sure those reasons were valid. It just kind of left me thinking, actually, what I've started this group for, which is in-person connection and showing up and being about something and women supporting women in person, making connections, 6 degrees of separation, in it, doing it. Actually, for all the rah-rah sisterhood cheerleading that I got when I started the group, people actually don't want that at all. That's not the culture we live in now. We live in a culture where it's very easy to just sit back and be really passive and just like a post on Facebook and feel like you were there and you're cool by association because you kind of saw it happening online. And you didn't have to give enough of a shit to get out of your house, get on the tube and go to that event. Then you're about something. Sitting back and just liking it on Facebook really doesn't mean shit. You know what I mean? It's really very passive. You haven't actively contributed anything to that situation. And it's so easy in today's culture to do that. It's so easy in today's culture to not have to RSVP, to just send a text and not feel guilty about the fact that you've let someone down. That's what my blog post was about, was just generally, it kind of ended up being about that particular event. But in general, I just think as a society, as a culture, we've moved into this era where it's perfectly acceptable to let someone down because we have all this technology at our fingertips where really we can be at the event without being at the event. We don't have to pick up the phone and call someone now and go through that awkward thing of like trying to stumble over and fumble, trying to find an excuse and verbalize that, because we can just send a text or a quick email or put a little post on Facebook and feel the relief of like, oh, I've got out of it. I don't have to go, rather than having to actually back up what you said you were going to do.
Well, so, there's that.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I was letting that run its full course. Because if you haven't read her piece, you really should. We talk a lot about accountability, right? Showing up and being present. But there's another bit of this, which isn't even just the like or the acknowledgement through social media that even though I wasn't there, I'm still showing support and I'm here for whatever reason. What I'm experiencing, without the digital, people could just expect you to be there the next time. So there's this assumption that because I flaked this time, oh, we can set this up tomorrow or next week, or you're continually going to have that door open for when you can finally get your stuff together and then we can meet. I think there is a flakiness epidemic. How I'm experiencing it since living here, it's so fucking easy to do.
Yes.
It's incredibly easy to like not note something, to forget that you have this date or this appointment, to rearrange something for 50 times and pull out at the last second. A conversation I had with a colleague this week was basically like, I'll caveat this by saying, like, when I moved to New York, I didn't move here thinking there'd be a utopia and my life would instantly get better because there's a reality of what I do every day and of what comes with living in a city. And making new friends, right? And of building up a certain type of relationship with someone where you can have that check-in moment, where we are not flaking off each other, where we have a lot of this time to connect and talk and do something. That is so fucking hard to do in this city in particular that I've found since moving to New York. You could say it's true of any major city, but I was basically sitting there over dinner with my colleague and she was like, people, she's like, you know why people cancel on you? Because people don't think you're a priority. People move here to this city to work, to be successful, to get onto the next thing. They have little time for interpersonal connection, which, to go back to your point, makes it all the more worthwhile and why we need it so much more. But there's something here which I've experienced, like, flakiness is the default, mate. Like, I've arranged coffee with someone for like the fifth time in 1 week and it just still hasn't happened, or they seem to forget and hit me up. I'm like, yo, are you ready? You down for tonight? You know what? Yeah, I really can't. And I've been that person for whatever reason. It's, I think, then just a way of noting how time, not so much time, society is changing with how little time we do get to connect with people in real life. That's why when you can, you should, and it matters. But the hustle and literally bustle and how fluid time is here and how fast it moves and where everyone is and how we're not accountable to each other and how your plans can be created on a day and then like end on one day is what I'm learning about New York life. And I was basically sitting there with my work colleague. She's like, look, people don't move here to make friends and it's really hard to have relationships. And we were talking about how lonely the city can be and how, you know, she was just in this, in, she used the word solitude. I was like in personal solitude and confinement for a while because no one could keep a date. And then you become insular and then you fall in yourself. And it's bad and it's really not how shit should be. But I'm saying this to say, like, I see it daily that we have a fatigue and a flakiness epidemic. And we're falling out of habits of being accountable to others and showing up and being present and keeping your promise and your word. You said, like, at the beginning, like, back in the day, people had to RSVP. I remember having birthday parties when I was 7, 8, 9 years old.
And you had to tear the little slip off the end of the invitation. Bruv, I love those days. I wish those were still around.
I might bring those back because nothing was more guaranteed. Shame on you if you're going to mess with my mother's catering arrangements, Danny and Sarah,
yes.
Okay, by saying you're going to come. And Danny and Sarah better be really ill to miss out on all this McDonald's or Marks and Spencer's food that my mum just bought for this party. But we used to have to, like, tear off the Ross Clark piece of paper and have a RSVP, like, now, what are you doing? Like, in the 50 text messages you get a day, bam, 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 bam. Unless you're saving that in your iCloud, you really, really forget. I think we've fallen out, sadly, of that level of accountability and what it means to honour a moment or that person by showing up and being present. By showing up and being present, it's extremely easy to flake these days. Without feeling guilty. Sometimes I do. Like, shit, Lamara, do it. And I think for me, it actually comes from a position of, I know when I don't want to be around people. I know when I can be like loner Lamara and just want to have time to myself and really am fed up of small talk. And I know when,
listen,
I can turn down
that's
experience.
That's me the majority of my life, that quite is frankly. That literally is me the majority of my life.
But there's also something like, for, again, showing up and being present. But I've shocked myself in the last couple of weeks for, to a certain extent, the amount of things I've said yes to. Mm. That's another rule that someone told me moving to the city. Say yes to everything. inside Lamar is like, I send yes to everything. Are you mad? We're tired. Like, I got shit to do.
You have to be realistic as well. I don't think it's realistic to say yes to everything. Exactly. You
if
know?
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah.
But there's something about when you say yes, or when you agree to go to something, or when someone is relying on you to be there, you're opening yourself up to experience that you would have never had. But you're also making someone else really happy, or they can then acknowledge that your presence, by the fact that you were there and you showed up and you weren't a fucking flake, that meant the world to them. You have to commit. And I think we have a problem with committing these days, right?
Completely.
We have a problem with committing to ourselves and to others. And I think we've got to this point then where it's just big truck shoulders. It doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't matter. We can rearrange this. Not understanding, with your very specific example, the level of effort, time, the reliability and grace of others to make this thing happen. And I think if we started to think about it more than just that person who's cool and be like, do you know what, we can rearrange, but think about it as if it was like a big fucking major production and all these little pieces have to come together so we can just meet at this coffee shop for an hour and have something happen. If we started to think about it outside of ourselves, I think our mindsets and our attitudes would change. We're like, we actually need to show up because it's bigger than me. Of all the things that when we talked about how you build your squad banks previously, and how liking something on social media is definitely not liking something in real life, and how we need to be moving towards more physical, and tangible connections with people, show the fuck up when you can. Like, you have to. For the personal benefit you'll feel by the experience that could be new to you and that you encounter, and for the joy it will bring to someone to know you actually were there for them in that moment.
It's city living in general, I think.
Yeah, let's get into
same,
that. Let's
I think it's the that. Same with, I think it's the same with London. I think any major city, it's a hustle and bustle. There's a million events every day. It's trying to balance, you know, your work and your home life. And especially cities like London, New York that are big. Travel is an intense thing. All of these are factors, and I'm not dismissing them, but I do think, you know, when you live in a smaller city or a town, people make plans and they just do it. It's not, it's uncomplicated. But the logistics when you're in a big city of, you know, working something around your work hours and are you working that day and what time do you finish and can I get from this side of town to that side of town to actually make it on time to the event or blah, blah. You know, I understand that logistically there is more when you're living in a city, but I do think also some of it comes down to this just being the culture. Let me use Tinder, for example, right?
Hey, swipe right, bro, swipe right.
To bring it back around, I think some of it is, you know, there may be a better option. So I'm not going to commit because there may be a better option, right? So you can I was having a conversation with a couple of friends today and someone was saying a friend of hers was on a Tinder date and a guy was on Tinder while he was on this date.
Don't lie.
Swear to God. And she didn't leave, no. But, you know, bygones. But classic example to be on a date but still swiping on Tinder because there may be another option that I'm more attracted to or that I'm more invested in or that might be slightly better than this one. And I think people have that same attitude towards events, people, places, committing to something slightly better might come along.
Again, another facet of city life, the limitlessness of New York and what it presents. There's always going to be something better for me to do. I think also bringing it back to your example, if this shit was made in advance, your flakiness is kind of unacceptable.
Completely.
There's something about the impromptuness of it, of like, are you free tonight? Do you know what? Yeah, I'm not. Like, okay, cool, no worries. I had this event I wanted you to come to, or do you want to meet up for a drink? But when you've scheduled it in, yeah, and the man's giving you like a week's notice, a 2 weeks notice, this is probably the second time we've arranged it. Is it not on the forefront of your mind that, like, can't flake again? There's something about it being in advance rather than impromptu that I think it probably hurts me more when, like, the flaking is like, we've planned this for a month and it's still not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, and that just is ridiculous to me. And also, what are you flaking for? There were people who cancelled because, oh, actually, I have to work late tonight.
Yeah.
So I've been in a 9-to-5 before, and if I had plans on that evening and I was asked to work late, I would say, I'm sorry, I have plans tonight. I can't cancel them. I would not work late, because the reality is your job is your job. If you were to leave your job tomorrow, they replace you. It ain't that serious. You know what I mean? That's a whole other topic in and to itself. But you can try and put in all the overtime you want to put in. And reality is when you retire, innit? Like, it is what it is. But these connections that you could be making in person with real people, that connection could lead to an excellent job for you. Maybe you might have met someone at that event who would have elevated your career to the next level. If you've made a commitment, you stick to it. And I know that's sometimes easier said than done, but I think...
Everything is. But I think it just, you're holding yourself, you're showing respect for the other person, and you're holding yourself to a higher accountability that you're not going to be that person that's a flake. Like, great example used there. I remember in my past job when, like... 5:30 used to roll around and I knew I had to be at your spin class for 6:15. Not thinking anything more grandiose than just the endorphins I was going to experience with you. And people looking at me sideways like, where are you going? Nah, I've got somewhere to be because I need to have this for me. Like, I'm not going to flake on that commitment to you, but also myself.
But also, and I think, my contracted hours are done, bruv. I'm not... I am not obliged to stay here, literally. You cannot hold me captive and make me work overtime.
That's a whole nother topic. You've got to fucking commit, man. You really, really, really have to. And I think we've just made it so much easier not to, or to forget. And what it is about the forgetting that then kind of pulls up, well, like, if you're just forgetting me so simply, like, am I important to you? Am I that forgettable? I always use this moment as well, not for a chance to berate, but to check in. Like, if your mate has missed something over and over again, like, is that person okay? Because again, there's two sides to this coin. Like, why are you missing that? Is there something about you don't want to be in this space? Are you okay? Do you want more one-on-one time? Do you not want me in a group setting? Because I flaked on someone the other day, like, a drink turned into like come to a party, and okay, I'm saying about the experience, but like, no, I didn't make that arrangement. I made the arrangement with you because man wanted to chat to you about something, and now you're just like, that doesn't work for me. So I'm not a part of that. I'm not a part of that, because we need to remember how to honor relationships and people better.
Bringing it back to what I was saying about it being a kind of a big city thing, and you kind of touched on it before as well with your colleague who bizarrely said nobody moves to New York to make friends. I could call an entire load of bullshit on that, but whatever. I think, you know, if you're going to move anywhere and think that you're going to cut your life off of friendships, that's a very bizarre outlook on life to begin with.
Friendships and relationships, which I think is another interesting but probably another topic, but carry on.
Yeah, when you're in larger cities, most people at this point who live in those larger cities probably moved to said city. They weren't born there. So I'm a London transplant. I was not born here. I'm away from my family a lot. I get to go back to Leeds once every few months. Yeah. I don't have family here. I don't have my longest old time friends here. I'm out here on my own. I'm an introvert. I am very isolated. I absolutely can literally go for very long periods of time without seeing or speaking to anybody and be fine with it, right? That's who I am as a person. However, as a human, I am aware that I need human interaction. I think it's important to reach out, to be in person, to connect. And that's part of the reason why I created that group also, is because you've got to be the change you want to see. And I noticed in me, precisely that reason, I was going for really long periods of time without seeing people or speaking to people and becoming more and more isolated. And absolutely, I have friends here and I have people who want to connect with me and I have people who are reaching out. And again, I'm not going to write myself off and say that I have not been a flake in the past. I absolutely have. But I think I wanted to create that group to be like, okay, actually, I can sit back and be pissed off about when I'm not invited to certain events, or I can start actively engaging more. And for me, the way to break that cycle was to be the person who was doing the organizing. Because I can't flake out on my own shit. You know what I mean? If I've organized it, I have to show up and I have to be there. So for me, it was being part of the change you want to see, but also understanding as a London transplant that there are a lot of other women I know in the city who are not from here and who don't have those family connections. It's different if you're from London and you lived here your whole life and you have your family just down the road and they're looking out for you and protecting you and you always have that safety net of family. It's different. I don't have that here. I have a safety net of family, don't get me wrong. My family are incredible, but they're just a distance away from me. So I think it's different for people who are not from the city, as for you, same thing in New York, right? Your family is miles and miles away, and it's important to have connections. You've got to build a network of people who are there for you and who've got you and who you can just... It doesn't even always have to be that deep. It might just be going for a drink with someone. You don't have to get into, you know, your whole life history. It could just be someone who actually, me and this person... like bowling, so we'll go bowling once a month together. It doesn't have to be that deep, you know, but in-person connections are really important. And I think it's, for me, along with flakiness, I think at this point we can't even really discuss flakiness without discussing how the rise in technology and social media, etc., has directly correlates with how much more often people are flaky now, because we've made it that much easier to be so through technology.
Well, we made it easier to state your intention to opt in to out. Like, what's the Facebook thing? Interested, maybe, no, or going.
It's completely non-committal. The whole thing is built around being non-committal to something.
Whereas, like, to my parents, it's like, you're there. Like, you're there or you're there. There's no if, buts, or maybes. Yeah. Like, are you going to be there or you're not going to be there?
Yeah. It's really, you know, that simple.
It's massively important to start building your tribe and your community, and all the ways you want to go about doing that. I think when I first, I was saying to my mate last night, you know, this bang's like, when I used to call you balling, like, I want to come home. This is bullshit. And you were like, go out there, make some friends, do something and get out the house. I was like, no, I don't want to be here. Real talk, like, I was that person. And I probably still could be that person. Partly a lot, let me just blame it on Mother Nature and how the weather was shit and just wasn't making me feel like I wanted to entertain with the world, like questioning my decisions. But massively, not having found a group of people or an activity or something to engage in, but something where I was accountable for being there. Now, since like the beginning of the year, like on the weekends, I go to the gym, I go to boxing class, and I do circuit training. I took two sessions out, right? I went on holiday the other month. Both my instructors came up to beginner session, was like, where were you? Where have you been? Oh, I was on holiday. Okay, you seemed like you were gone for a long time. There's me thinking, I'm just in this class, like, low-key at the back, skimping out on doing a two-minute plank, real talk, I do that. Or, like, you know, when the boxing instructor's like, hit it five times, I just hit it four times. Like, I feel like I'm not making an impact, or I'm present, but not present in the space. Mm. But they noticed I was gone. There's something about that in, like, opening yourself up, finding something which you can commit to, which someone's then looking out for you, like, where were you?
Yeah.
You know? Which made me really feel valued in this city. You know, I'm not going to say, like, I do have family here. I have friends here from, like, past times. I've been in America and I've made some new ones. But that was, like, a huge light bulb and hug at the same time of, like, rah, my two fitness instructors who see tons of people were like, where were you? You know,
that's deep. And that, I think when you're in a city by yourself, and I know from when I lived in New York, having those kind of moments can really just hit you in your solar plexus. You know what I mean? Where you're like, you have a day where you're feeling alone and like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. Or, you know, having exactly that. You think, oh, I've made no impact here. I've got no connections. But having someone who you would never think would be looking out for you, simply just asking, where have you been? You know, I miss seeing your face. I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. It has a massive impact, you know, and you don't know how important those moments are to people. And so every time, if you're the kind of person who flakes out on people a lot, every time you flake out, you're chipping away a little bit more at that person you're flaking on.
Depending on the event. But like, yeah, trust then it becomes an issue. Trust does become an issue. And I think there's something I opened with saying, like, there's the beauty of friendships which are rooted in something which you can pick up wherever, at whatever time, and y'all are good, right? And you're just... But there's moments also, like, the negative of that is there's also those times where I hate when I haven't, to a certain extent, seen a mate and we rehash old shit. You know, there's something about those conversations where they're so formulaic. Like, I was talking to my mate last night. We always go back to our youth because those were, like, carefree, amazing days. And then we talked, I saw him in the summer, then I saw him at the beginning of this year. And then we're talking about, like, where we're going in the next, how we're going to finish at the end of the year. And amazing stories from our childhood. There's some friends, though, where, like, maybe not no matter how long you've known them, but you just rehash the same fucking shit, which drives me nuts. We're not keeping in good communication with another enough. Like, we don't, I then don't trust our friendship that much. Or I don't, it's something which leaves me empty after those types of interactions of, how are you? How's work? How's your relationship? Oh, no. Okay, then that. What have you done? Cool. See you. Oh, let's try and do this in a month. Then the 2 months passed. Then 3 months passed. Then four months passed. And then when I see you again, we were going over the same stuff. I then believe that, like, you make time for people who you want to make time for. There's something in that, and as well as the trust which you give to people, that if you want this friendship to work, and through the information that we're sharing, that it just takes a bit more, we got to keep this going. This is not something that we can drop with all this shit that we're talking about and all this deep stuff and how we should be checking in with each other. I'm not begrudging anyone the busyness of their life. I'm not saying it's tip-top shit easy to just meet all the friends that you want to meet and have enough energy for you to give into you and give into all the things that you got to do. But we do have to build trust and accountability more. We have to be present more with the people that matter when it matters, you know?
I would add to that by saying I don't have time is a bit of a bullshit phrase. Everybody has time. You make time when things are important to you, you make time, right? Everybody has the same amount of time in a day. You are going to allot time to the things that are important to you. So I would rather somebody say to me, you know, that's not important to me right now. That can't be a priority for me right now because I have these other things going on. But you do have time. You're just allotting your time differently, right? So for me, I know what is a priority for me. I know the things that I am absolutely going to make time for. There are certain things that I have no interest in that I'm not going to carve out a part of my day for that because I'm not interested in it. So I think it's just a case of being honest about that. You know, busyness is bullshit. Busyness is bullshit, and I can talk about that till the cows come home. You create the day you want for yourself. You do with your time what you want to do with your time, right? That's a whole other podcast about busyness, but that's it's become a bragging right to talk about how busy we are. I'm so busy. I'm so this. I've made a point of trying to stop saying that because I'm not busy. I'm doing everything in the time that it should be done in, and
that's
I have time,
right? Actually.
You know, it's a bragging right to say, oh, I'm so busy. Like, I don't have time. I'm so busy. It's bullshit. Then you need to reassess your life then. If you're that busy that you don't have time to call your parents, if you're that busy that you don't have time for that drink with a friend who's been trying to meet up with you and is probably trying to meet up with you because something's wrong and they need to talk and you're not being present and aware and understanding that they're reaching out to you because they need you. If you're just giving it all the busyness talk because it sounds good to say that you're busy, you're not busy. If you've got Netflix, you ain't busy, babes. You ain't busy. You know what I mean? If you've got time to sit around and binge watch shit, you ain't busy, right? And I binge watch stuff. I'm not busy. My life is, and I've made it that way. That's a conscious effort on my part. I don't want to be busy. I want to have time to do the things that I want to do in my life. My life is full, But is it, and I absolutely do have times where I legitimately am quite busy and have many things on, but I'm past the point where I take on more than I know I can handle because I don't want
to. That's interesting. That's really interesting.
But that's a whole other podcast. You know what? Let's not even touch on that. That's a whole other thing.
And come back to that one.
Yeah.
Tune in next week, folks. But there's something that I think in, we all have 24 hours in a day, right? Then it becomes a question of who or what you give your time to.
Exactly. It's just prioritizing. That's all it comes down to. It's just prioritizing. And if you made a commitment to do something, you go do it. Life really is as easy or as complicated as you want to make it. The whole busyness thing.
Sometimes I always err for the more complicated,
right,
but that's a whole
nother. And people do. Sometimes people do. Sometimes I do, right? It's what it is. But that's what I mean about the busyness thing. Like, things are as easy or as complicated as you want to make it. If you want a ton of excuses, then you're going to talk about how busy you are. You're going to make your life complicated because you need to make excuses for why you're not handling your personal health or whatever it might be. Then you've got all these excuses about how complicated and busy your life is because it's an avoidance tactic, right? Of like actually dealing with the realness of your life.
There's something in there though of like, thinking of when that's been used or when I've said that. And how we started was to be present, to learn, to grow and connect, to turn things away from being digital and to make them more physical, right? You can still check in with your brethren. I think that's massively overlooked, right? We have 24 hours in the same day. You may be busy. Like, you may be doing 20 million fucking things and trying to juggle 10 plates all at the same time. Check the fuck in with your friends. Being here, I'm battling a time zone. When I'm asleep, everyone's awake. When I'm awake, everyone's asleep, right? And I've missed moments and opportunities to talk to people. Then they're like, how you doing? Like, I'm busy. You're doing this. You're doing that. It's cool. But hey. I picked up my phone, the only method of communication I have, like when it's time zone shit, and I've just fired off like 10 texts like, bro, just checking in. I know you've been doing your thing, I've been doing my thing, but like, just want to know you're all good. You can still do that. And I think when we say we're busy and when we miss out on events, like people think the moment to then not check in is missed without relying on your phone too much. It's like, yeah, still send them a text, shoot them a text, give them a phone call even if you can't be there with them, like still check in with them because that still honors their time and what you maybe were going to talk about and that moment in which you were going to check in if you can't be there. And I think people forget that in the absence of that, it's either we check in and we meet is everything or it doesn't happen at all. And also, as I want to end on this, like, I have a mate who every Friday we honor each other and we're committed to and we respect each other's time enough to meet for breakfast every Friday morning and catch up. And that's done me the world of good personally. It involves me starting my day a bit earlier. And this is the thing, like, you can make time to make these things happen. That's the point. You can make time to make these things happen. If for whatever reason, like, I really don't want to lose a connection with this mate, I need this to kickstart my Friday and to recap over my week at work. And that person's time to me is important as theirs is, and vice versa, right? You can carve out sections of your day, whether it's that text, which takes 10 minutes and it turns into being an essay, whereas you come home from night, from work at night and you sit there at your computer and you write that email, or you start your day a little bit earlier to go and have breakfast or a cuppa, or you finish your day a little bit later. Like, we can be better at being more committed to people that we care about and showing up and being present and giving a shit.
Yeah, just to echo that, as I said, you make time for the things that are important to you. When it comes to being flaky, by not going to the certain event or whatever it is that you committed to, think of the missed opportunity. And I think to kind of counteract this point that we're at in the culture, we all have to learn to call bullshit on ourselves. It's something that I'm learning to do better. Like, you know what? I know when I just want to revert back to being an introvert and just, I know when I'm trying to cheat myself out of something, and I know when I'm saying I'm tired when actually I do have the energy to go. I think we have to learn to call bullshit on ourselves and our excuses and actually just deep dive into it. And take a chance. You know, you go into that event, you might learn something, you might meet someone, anything could happen that broadens your horizons a little bit, makes you better as a person. Or alternatively, you might just have fun. You know what I mean? Like, not everything has to be that deep. You might actually just have yourself a good old time, and that evening, whether you realize it or not, has benefited you in some way. And alternatively, you may get nothing from it, but you're not going to know if you just continually keep flaking and shutting yourself off from these things. So that's my view on flakiness. Just deep dive into it and just go and do the thing that you said you were going to do. Period.
Mic drop.
Yes. What is your quote? Good words. Wise words? What are we saying? Wise words. Words to live by. There we go. We got that. Oof, Lord. Sorry.
Mine this week, Bangs. Skepta has an album called Konnichiwa. And on it, he's enlisted a chorus. And then a very great outro by two grime legends, should I say. Fellow North London rapper by the name of Chipmunk. I do not know his real name. I'm just going to call him Chipmunk. Everyone should know who I'm talking about. But on this outro, which is just like one of the greatest song outros I've ever heard, man like Chipmunk, and these are my words of wisdom, he says in a phone call to Skepta, very much like how our phone calls started, and sometimes our phone calls are bad, so I'm like, I need the energy, bruv. Like, hit me with it. My man says, like superpowers, fam, supercharged, bro. Superpowers, fam, supercharged, bro. That's the whole mission. That is it. That is your words of wisdom to live by. Be supercharged and have those superpowers to go out, drop kick your day, your week, your month, whatever. Like, if anyone or everyone spoke to me how Chipmunk did Skepta in this outro, like, I'm all here for it. Maybe just fucking listen to the outro and then feel inspired and motivated to go out and do whatever the hell it is you want to do. Like, that's my words of wisdom.
I like it. I'm about to supercharge, superpower myself.
Superpowers, fam. Superpowers.
I like it. My words to live by this week are, not everything is your business.
Oh!
Yeah. Those are words to live by.
I'm grabbing my chest.
I learned that the hard way this week. I'm not going to go into the particular situation, but I inserted myself into a situation with a friend because I was concerned about said friend and ended up upsetting this friend in the process by bringing up something that perhaps I shouldn't have brought up, that I was concerned about, that perhaps she wasn't concerned about. And I think it was not my place to do that. It was not my business. And I think we're cool now. We have talked about it. And I think she definitely understands that what I was trying to do was coming from a good place. And it was well-intentioned, but I think I really had to kind of sit back and check myself after that and think, actually, that was not my business. And I had no business saying that to my friend and unintentionally upsetting my friend. And I've been on the receiving end of those situations myself sometimes where I think that's not your business and you don't need to insert yourself into that. And I think that we would all do well to remember that at times. Sometimes we think we've got really good intentions and we're coming from a good place. And we very well may be. But those words that you want to share with that person may not be relevant, may not want or need to be heard by that person. And I think you just have to be cool with that. You know what I mean? Like, we just have to be cool with the fact that, you know what, maybe we might think a certain thing about a situation, but that might not be the reality for whoever's living it. And we just have to be cool with it. It may not be our business. And you just sometimes just shut your mouth, innit? Just shut your mouth, keep your opinion to yourself. And it's cool. Just sit with it. And just know that if whatever it is that you're concerned about, whatever you want to speak to that friend about, if it is a situation just trust that if it really is a situation for them, hopefully they will feel comfortable confiding in you at some point. In the meantime, shut your mouth. It's not your business. Those are my words of wisdom for this week. So, yeah.
Clutches pearls. Oh, okay.
So, yeah. And I say that honest. It's no shade. It's very, like, with love. You know what I mean? I think that we could all do well to remember, listen, not everything's your business, innit, fam? You know what I mean? Like, it's all right to not voice your opinion on certain shit to certain people. It's all right to actually just keep your mouth shut. I'm saying that very in a very well-intentioned way to whoever may need to hear it. So on that bombshell. Yeah.
Give me all the jokes. I swear.
Anyway, moving on, follow us on Twitter at No BS Guide to Life, website nobsguidetolife.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and everything else. My website is bangsinabun.com. My Twitter and everything else is at bangsinabun. Lamara, tell the people where they can follow you.
They can follow me on Twitter at lemel_p. They can send fan mail the old-fashioned way by carrier pigeon. No, I'm joking. Also, I wish we did have a P.O. box because that'd be interesting. RSVP me like all the kids in my primary school used to do. But
tear
yeah, you could tweet.
Slip. Tear off the slip tear and off. Send it to us, innit?
Right? Just tweet me, man. I'm around. I hope everyone has a great week and no one flakes on you and you don't flake on someone. Let it not be the week that we flake. How about that? You know,
yes, right on.
Just let it not be that week. I don't give a shit what you do the following week. Just not this week. Yeah, like,
don't
try it
this week. Just try it.
But yeah.
Yes,
we're
people.
Around. We're about. We'll be back next week.
Till next
as
week.
Always.
Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.
Later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.